Hey y'all, we are Back to the Basket, a weekly podcast where we discuss and dissect the best league in the entire world, the NBA. I'm Wahaj, your host. And with me today and every week are Kevin. What's up, Kebo?
Hey, welcome world.
And Richard.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Pretty good.
How are you guys doing?
Enjoying the dog days of the NBA?
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. It's grinding out.
There's been a lot happening. I think we've been away for a while.
That's all.
And we're gonna try to be more consistent, but we have a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching a lot of tanking teams lately, so I want to start off by just talking about all the promise that these teams have to look forward to in the upcoming years. Do you guys have a favorite team that you like watch tank? That's a weird sentence to say.
No, I really like the Bulls. Honestly, as much as I'll probably get flack for this, I like their future, and it fits right into our topic today. I mean, Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, who else? They have a future draft pick coming in. I think they're set for the future.
Do you like their coaching and the way he's taking them forward?
He's more modernistic and. Sure, they're tanking this year, and they're pretty trash, but I think in the future they have promise.
Did you mention Lauri Markkanen?
Yeah, he did.
I mentioned Lauri. That's my guy, man. The fastest rookie to hit 100 3-pointers, and he's a 7-footer.
That's the lead now.
Unicorn.
How do you feel about Zach LaVine? Do you think there's enough promise?
I really like Zach, but I just think his... It's hard for him to stay healthy. He's out with another knee issue right now.
Yeah, he's been having issues. That's understandable. Well. What do you think, Richard? Bulls?
I'm about Markkanen. I haven't seen enough for me to really make a decision yet. But for me, the team I like to watch tank, because I've seen them tank for so long, has just been the Kings. No, I've seen the Kings.
They've been tanking for
years.
They've been
tanking for at least as long as I remember. So.
Hey, let's not crap on the Kings.
Yeah, no. I'm not here to crap on them. I think De'Aaron Fox is real. I like Bogdanović. I think they have a lot of promise moving forward. My only concern is what the front office does to support that.
No, the front office is what? Infamous for their mishaps and the way they don't develop players. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how it's not ideal for free agents to go there. What's happening with Zach Randolph and obviously George Hill wasn't happy there. So I feel like with everything going on with the Kings, they have Buddy Hield, which, you know, people thought wasn't going to be as good as Steph Curry, but I believe he will be. That's a hot take, I know. And
so?
I'm not fully serious about it, but I woke up thinking, hey, why not? I looked at his numbers, and I mean, the catch and shoot is up there. It's better percentage than anybody else in the league right now. So,
okay, I can...
Interesting.
It's a hot take,
no,
I know.
Take, I'll temper that by saying I think Buddy really just embraces the Clay role, and De'Aaron Fox becomes the star of that team. That's what I think.
Yeah, you need a ball handler with Buddy Hield.
And they have shooters now, too. Look at Bogdan. That guy can light it up.
That's very true.
Famous very World true. Of Warcraft player,
Bogdan. Famous Bog.
By the way, I don't think I can double down on the Steph Curry thing. Maybe it's the inner Vivek in me that's coming out right now. But I'm going to go with it and say, like, I think Buddy Hield may be better than people realized that he was going to be. Even though he is 24, I think there's a lot of promise moving forward with his shooting, obviously. If he can defend a little bit, that would help, but he doesn't do that. Like, he gets lost on screens a lot. He goes under, which is not ideal for shooters these days. Overall, I think the Kings are, you know, they're not a terrible watch anymore. Like, if you watch their games, they're going to be losing, but there's a lot of upside to the way they play.
They got a fresh uniform, too.
And what do you think, Waj? What's your favorite tanking team to watch?
Should I be a homer and go with the Mavs?
Go for it, man.
All right. just to give people perspective, from Texas, and my team is the Mavericks. So I think the only team that's openly come out and said that they're tanking, for us, Mark Cuban has to see a lot of promise on these young guys. And we've had, besides Salah Medjri, because that guy's just awful.
I have many, many bad things yes, to say.
Yes, so does Rick Carlisle, by the way. but we have Dwight Powell, who's a really promising player.
I was going to say, Dwight Powell is fantastic.
Homer, Canadian, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
So he's a favorite amongst fans. People really like Dennis Smith Jr.
He's awesome.
But I think for Dallas, the best thing to happen is for them to openly admit that they're going for that pick. I think when you instill that kind of mentality in the team, and I know people are going to come out and say, like, that's not good for the team. You're teaching people how to lose. But I think with the culture Rick Carlisle brings with his coaching, they know it's a temporary thing. They know it's only for this year, because I feel like next year, with the core they have, they're a fringe playoff team if they come up with a good pick.
Yeah.
If you put Dennis Smith Jr. with Harrison Barnes, and I know Harrison Barnes doesn't have a lot of fans out there either, but I feel like
it depends on the day.
Yeah. Well, I think Harrison Barnes feels the same way. So I don't know if I'm being a homer, but I see promise in this team, mainly because of how good Dennis Smith Jr. has been in spurts. There's a lot of potential there offensively. He's got to get better defensively for sure. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you combine Ntilikina and Dennis Smith Jr., that's your perfect point guard. Because Ntilikina has been probably the best defender. And Knicks fans, again, another tanking team, I guess, if you can call Knicks that. Ntilikina has been a really solid, probably one of the best guard defenders in the league. He's bothered Chris Paul. I don't know if you saw that game when, I mean, nobody watches Knicks and Rockets. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So he didn't let Chris Paul score for, like, I think it was 8 or 7 possessions.
Yeah, he's very solid.
That is very sweet.
I'm going to have to look at that
footage. He bothered Chris LeVert. I was watching Knicks and Nets. I don't know why I'm watching all these teams play. It's really a shame sometimes.
It's fun. I have fun watching
Ntilikina defend.
Yeah.
I think that's
inversely to this topic, what tanking team do you guys not see much promise in?
Suns.
Suns, I think, in my opinion, the Suns have a lot of promise with J-Jax, Marquise Chris. I think those guys could be very solid defenders in the future.
You really like Marquise Chris? You got to sell me on the Marquise Chris.
he's a hothead, but he's very raw and athletic. And I think if he puts it all together, we can't really talk too much about Chris right now. He's 20 years old. He's got all the right tools. It depends on how his work ethic is.
See, this is why, just to move it back to the Buddy Hield thing for just like a minute.
Yeah,
I think underrated in this league is maturity. You don't hear a lot of talk about Kings off court nonsense anymore,
right.
or you know.
I mean, how can you look at Devin Booker and say that team doesn't have promise? That kid scored 70 points.
Yeah,
70
points in regulation. It's for me. I know. In the era of the Warriors and you know, blow it up if it isn't working. Kind of NBA. Like, we don't have the luxury of developing a style. But when I watch the Suns, I'm just like, what are you making? You know, what is this? Like the idea that we all used to have of like Suns having like 3-point guards all the time, it's like that's not a thing anymore. And so it's like,
TJ Warren, what are you guys don't see promise in? He's 24, averaging plus 20 plus points per game. I mean, he's a mid-range magician, but he's not. I mean, I think he's got promise.
I see promise in the sense that I see promise with Devin Booker getting better. I see promise in Josh Jackson getting better, but besides that, I don't see a lot in that team.
What about Alfred Payton? He's on that team now.
Yeah.
But this is just like again, this is like on a player to player basis. Sure, everyone has upside,
yeah.
But this is the league, right? This is the 1% of and the basketball players in the world, right? Mm. So all of them are going to have some level of upside. Again, for me, it's a matter of like, what are you working towards? What is
right.
like when you watch the Mavericks, it's, yeah. you know, I don't have the same concerns that some people do about tanking, because when you watch them, they're not putting a bad product on the floor. At the end of the game, they just have to lose. That's just the nature of what they're doing.
So you think Suns are putting out a bad product every night?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay. I think this was a debate between you two. I mean, I'm impartial to the Suns. I think I need to see more. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I haven't seen many Suns games this year, so I can't comment on exactly how Marquese Chris is in isolation or, you know, in certain plays. Mm-hmm. I've seen Josh Jackson highlights, and I feel like as I saw him play over the year, he hasn't gotten better. So I think Devin Booker alone cannot carry a team, to your point.
Right.
I feel like he needs help. Coaching hasn't really been stable. Josh Jackson hasn't really been consistent throughout the year. So I feel like if there's other factors that can come in and help the Suns, that would be a more promising aspect. I just don't see it now, but I also think that Josh Jackson has a higher ceiling than other prospects they have. For instance, Dragan Bender. I don't believe in Dragan Bender.
They're winning the tank war, so...
Don't tell that to Mark Cuban. He'll be really disappointed.
They're 19-54.
That's a bad product. That's a bad product.
Also, yeah, I bought a little stock in Dragan Bender, and I'm a little disappointed. But we'll see.
You're not going to double down on Dragan
Bender. No,
I think the least promise would have to go to Atlanta, to be honest.
What? I love Torian Prince.
Torian Prince
is really good.
He knows how to get rebounds.
Yes, and he knows how to open shots. For him are dropping throughout the year. People don't realize he's been playing really well.
Yeah, Torian Prince is messing up their tank.
I know, right?
Yes, John Collins, Torian Prince.
Dennis Schroeder went blitzkrieg on whatever team that was.
Oh my God, I do not like Dennis Schroeder. Yeah,
I know both of you guys hate him.
Dennis Schroeder is like that dude.
He's very inefficient, and he thinks he can do it all when he can't. He doesn't know his limitations. One team I will honorary mention, because I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about them, are the Grizzlies. They didn't blow it up, and they still might get a really good pick. So, I mean, that's a good – I feel like there's some positive for the Grizzly fans. Don't you think so? You still have Marc Gasol. You still have Mike Conley. You kept Tyreek. You can go either way with Tyreek. But I feel like if you get a top draft pick, and this draft is loaded, and you might get a game changer, and you still kept your core. Isn't that what the league is all about?
It is.
It's interesting if you put it that way.
No, yeah, that's interesting. But the way you describe it, like it kind of gives you like this, like
a little bit of hope.
Not hope, but like, oh my God, they pulled a fast one on everyone.
They did.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe they just like fell into it. Because nobody thought they'd be losing 19 in a row or 18. I'm not factual on this. Sorry.
Have you seen who they put out on the floor?
Oh, Dylan Brooks. Hey, he's okay.
He's all
right. Is it like it can't be worse than like was it 2 years ago when they were? It was almost like a different roster every night, kind of thing. Like
a lot of D League guys.
Yeah, that's like been a Grizzlies thing for a while now.
Nobody even talked about Chandler Parsons anymore. I don't even know if that guy's alive.
Chandler Parsons is collecting checks. Somewhere.
Yeah, but he makes an appearance every 7 games, and he just—they don't even put. They put
is
out
he
statements.
Anymore?
Oh, I don't know what's going on.
Is he a future Luol Deng? Is this like
Luol Deng is a professional? It just his situation is just really messy. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't let him go. They should have. Yeah. I have heard a lot from people that work closely within organizations, and they have nothing bad to say about Luol Deng and his character. So I don't know what really is going down.
You brought up Chandler Parsons, and I just can't stand to see that contract, man. He's going to be getting paid $25 million in 2020.
I love it.
Hey, good for him, man. Good for him. Good for him.
That's what the CBA is all about.
Wow.
Good for him, man.
Wow.
He's got a good life. I mean, I follow some of his social media accounts. He's got a good life.
Good looking guy, got a lot of money, you know?
Yeah. You know,
Memphis barbecue?
Yeah. How did we both?
I think he spends a lot of time in LA. That's okay, just safe to say. Yeah, because he's not playing. He's not on the court. So I don't know if he travels with the team or not. He probably shouldn't.
But as a Texas guy, Where do you think the best barbecue in the States is?
Oh man, that's a very loaded question.
Off topic, but I had to ask you.
You know what? I would say Memphis.
Memphis barbecue.
Or you know what? Alabama. I'm gonna go with Alabama, and here's why. Alabama. Quickly, white sauce.
Oh, sauces.
White sauce.
Never yes. Heard of that. So they do a mayonnaise based barbecue sauce. I know, right?
I can see that.
Don't knock it till you try it.
I can That's see that all being good. Say.
And you know what?
Interesting.
I'll bring some for you guys. Not next week, but I'm promising it down the road.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm excited.
All right. This next topic I'm impartial to. Well, I kind of have my own opinions on it, but I was interested in seeing where you both sat in terms of Defensive Player of the Year.
That's a doozy.
Yeah, you know, it's
a tough one now.
It's interesting because there's a lot of people there are a lot of players who are in contention for it who've missed a lot of games. And so it really is, again, like the Rookie of the Year, which we won't go into. It's like how many times do you need to be on the court to be in contention for this?
Richard, why don't you go for it? Because I feel like you're going to be impartial? Are you going to pick Embiid?
I'm actually on the fence right now because it's, for me, I think help defense and team defense is underrated and people who excel in it should be rewarded. But at the same time, I can't concede to give it to Al Horford.
No way.
All right, back it up.
Yeah. I mean, can you really look at the NBA and, you know, not say Gobert is the best defender in the NBA right now?
I think for me, when I watch Rudy Gobert play defense, most of the time I go, oh, the refs are going to let you get away with that. I don't know. That's just me. And that colors it differently. I'm sure with numbers and stats.
Awesome numbers. Defensive real plus minus. First place. Rudy Gobert. I mean, ever since he's come back, they have the league best defense with a 97 D rating.
Okay. And what about Al Horford? What's his number like?
He's 22nd in real plus
minus. Oh,
there you go. Plus minus is so like
skewed. Yeah,
yeah, you gotta give me the defensive rating.
Defensive rating is 15th.
For Gobert.
Gobert is third.
No, that's
okay. That's a more legitimate stat.
Yeah, I'm looking for that
defensive win shares per 48 minutes.
Okay.
Third, Embiid 9th, Horford 14th.
So what is the eye test? What guy have you watched in the league that you're like, man, this is the best defender? That's the real question. Who is the best defender in the league?
I mean, nobody ever Minus wants Kawhi. To come into the paint when Gobert's in there. And for good reason. He will block any attempt.
Eye test also has its own biases because, like, again, with Embiid, for anything, it's like when he's not on the floor, the Sixers are like, what is this team? And then he's on the floor and he's like, oh, he is the team.
He's a very dramatic player. Like, he falls down and, you know, like, he's very animated. So you see, like, him working extra hard. I feel like, you know, Gobert, it's more effortless because he's just a menacing presence in the middle.
Well, yeah, people just don't want to go in there.
They just don't want to go in there. With Embiid, people, like, give it a try. But then they realize, oh, bad
maybe
idea.
Maybe I shouldn't have. Yeah. I mean, the thing with Embiid, though, is that he also has to carry a huge load on offense as well. So it's a lot of effort to
it's
be
a Kawhi factor.
Yeah. I mean to be a good
can Embiid get buckets on Embiid? Probably. Yeah.
Hey, if he's darting to the baseline and shooting that three like Curry,
that's actually a good test. Because I think Al Horford could score on Al Horford. Joel Embiid could score on Joel Embiid. I don't think Rudy Gobert could score on Rudy Gobert. And he's also improved defensively this year.
Who is the best defender in the league?
I mean, since he came back, the Jazz are 20-3. And with leading the league in defensive rating.
There's some scary numbers he's throwing at me. Like, these are all scary numbers. But I'm still not sold on Gobert. I don't know what it is.
The only knock on Gobert, in my opinion, is by the end of the season, he'll only have 56 games played.
And is that a factor or not?
Is that it?
That's it. 56 games.
I feel like you got to crack the 60 number to be considered.
Arbitrary numbers, right?
How many is it right now? 56?
Did I just piss off Russ fans?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Russ fans.
Oh, there's a tangent for it in a little bit.
I feel Steven Adams boxing me out already.
56. When did he come back? Because if...
At the end of the season, it'll be 56 games.
Yeah, overall, he'd be playing 56.
He came back.
If he doesn't get injured, sorry.
And then what was it? Derek Favors landed on his knee, he kind of strained his PCL. He came back from an MCL earlier in the season where he was off 6 weeks. So it's tough in terms of, you know, games played, but there's no competition.
If we say 56 games is fine, does that also mean Andre Roberson is like,
how many games will he have played?
I would say it's in the 40s.
Yeah,
that's my guess. So if it's 40s, it's half a season. It's nine, a big enough sample size.
It happened late January.
Yeah, too many games.
That's
missed.
Too early.
Yeah. Even with Gobert, I feel like the voters are gonna consider that before voting.
Right.
You got to think like the people who have the power to vote. That's why I'm gonna pick Draymond Green.
He's awesome. Yeah, well, Draymond should win like
every year. Yeah, and I'm gonna go with that pick because I really don't have an answer. Because I'm so confused. Give it to Draymond. Can Draymond guard Draymond?
Yeah.
Draymond. Just let him shoot threes. Draymond has a really big role in the Warriors offense and defense.
Right.
And he plays both ends. He's a playmaker. I feel like he should get the award. He has played enough games. That's not a question, even though he's injured now. I don't really have a concrete pick, so I'm going to go with what I know best. And Draymond knows defense best, better than anybody in the league.
Yep, right. This is true. How do you guys feel about Anthony Davis in contention for this?
He's honestly probably the biggest contender other than Gobert, just because he's played almost a full season. Ever since Boogie went down, he's leading the league in steals and blocks. And just look at him putting the Pelicans on his back. Like, he's got to do everything on offense, put up 40 points, get 20 rebounds every night, and still go back on defense and shut people down.
Hey, Pelicans are a really good team, though. If you've watched them play, they have, like, solid pieces. So I agree with your point that he's carrying the team, I also feel like he's not carrying the team as much as he was initially thought to be carrying the team. Because you have Rondo stepping up.
How good is Drew?
There you go. You have Drew, you have Rondo, you have Etuan Moore, you have, what's his name? Mirotic has been slightly productive.
That guy's a winner, man.
Yes.
I'm happy that he's found a place somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, even Bobby Portis, going back to my tanking thing, that's a good thing for Bulls. He's playing really good. Mm-hmm. Just putting that out there. Anyway, back to your point. You were saying Anthony Davis as defensive player of the year.
I'm just throwing it out there, yeah.
Why not give him some love? I feel like he's not going to get anything else, so sure. He's been good enough. He's an MVP candidate. And one factor that really goes in his favor, he can guard perimeter players.
And the pick and roll very well.
Because he used to be really short, and then he had a growth spurt.
Yeah,
he has a guard mentality.
Right.
I mean, sure, I wouldn't mind if any of these guys get Defensive Player of the Year, to be honest with you.
Just seeing Anthony Davis fade away, those shots are like almost unguardable, and they always go in. Do you see how good?
Yeah, that's true. So who has a top defense in the league?
The number one the number one team in terms of team defense is the Celtics, 2, Spurs, 3, Jazz.
And the Spurs just continue to boggle my mind.
They're still in there.
Continue to boggle my mind. And you know what? The Sixers are the fourth best defense in the league.
They play hard.
That's Embiid.
That's
young legs.
Yeah.
And Raptors, they're number 5. Warriors, number 6.
You know what? The Raptors are top 5 defense and offense. That says something. But I'm scared of the Jazz. I feel like if you don't give it to Horford, you're going to have to go with Gobert, because if you're looking at team defense like they do,
well, player defense, number one in defensive win shares, Rudy Gobert.
Marcus Smart, I'm telling you, Marcus Smart is underrated defensively.
Whoa, two Celtics in the top 5.
Jalen and Marcus.
And we got three Philly players in there too.
In the top 10. With
Rocco, Embiid, and Ben Simmons.
Robert Covington is fun to watch.
He's a great defender, honestly.
Sixers are a really fun team to watch. I feel like in the playoffs, no matter who they face, I still want to see how they react to like big situations. But it's a really promising matchup for whoever they face. So we're done with the Defensive Player of the Year picks. One more thing we wanted to talk about is all the weird stories going on in the NBA right now.
It's a weird season.
What do you got? What do you got, Kevin? What do you got for us?
I mean, we were pitching a brand new segment here. It's what's weirder? And there's three things that we can talk about, and they're all equally just as weird. But let's debate it.
All right, let's go. Let's give us the topics.
We got number one, Kyrie's minimally invasive knee procedure weeks prior to the playoffs. Number two, we have the weirdest situation in my opinion, Markelle Fultz, the number one overall draft pick that seemingly forgot how to shoot.
I have a theory about that. but we'll move on.
We'll talk about it. And number three, Kawhi. What's going on with him? What's going on with the Spurs? It's probably the weirdest situation in the NBA. Let's debate. What's your take, Wahaj?
On which one?
You pick. There's three.
You know what? I'm gonna go. I'm gonna.
It's weirder.
I'm gonna stay local and go with the Texas story. Kawhi's been. It's an anomaly to say the least. I don't know what's going on in the camp. Mm-hmm. The Spurs are, you know, very tight-lipped about everything. So not much is gonna come out of there. So I feel like we're gonna wait until the end of the year to fully get the story. Kawhi's never gonna talk about it. So maybe you'll never get the story. I also am on this weird island where me and a few others believe that he's probably going to end up leaving the Spurs because he's not happy with their medical staff. Apparently, injury wasn't diagnosed properly, and I think that's where it all stems from.
Right.
He doesn't want to come back because I don't think he trusts the Spurs. I've also heard that. There's a million things going on, but I feel like it's all speculation because Kawhi is an anomaly, to say the least.
I mean, Tony Parker says, he's like, I had the same thing, but 100 times worse.
But you can't really tell a player what's worse.
Exactly, right.
His injury or yours. I mean, Parker obviously is trying to motivate the guy in some weird way to come back. Because why won't you want your all-NBA forward to be back on the team?
Parker also wasn't a Jordan Brand athlete and like pending free agency in the time of that industry.
They didn't want to pay him a lot of money. And I think that's also weird, is that why would you only offer him $20 million or whatever? He's a more marketable player. And people say, Kawhi is boring and blah, blah, blah. He's not going to sell shoes. I disagree. If you're a good player, enough kids watch you play to know who you are and how good you are. So they'd want to go out and get your shoe. It doesn't matter how much you are outspoken or you're not boring or interesting. I feel like Jordan didn't offer him enough, and it was right for him to turn down that deal. That's my opinion anyway.
Right.
I don't know what you guys think about the whole Jordan Brand.
Yeah, it's all a weird situation to me, man. I mean, that's a good debate on the first.
Did anybody see it coming though? I didn't see this coming. I never thought it'd be this weird.
The Spurs saw that coming. Because he's cleared by the Spurs medical staff, but his personal doctor is not clearing him.
It sounds like people are trying to place blame. You know what I mean? Like it sounds like they don't. Someone there doesn't want it to sound like the next thing we're going to talk about. They don't want it to sound like the full situation. So they're like, oh, we're going to just try to pin the blame on someone else.
Well, Popovich came out and did that press conference. I don't know if you're.
Yeah, I saw the excerpts.
And he pretty much said that the ball is in Kawhi's court now. Like, we've done as much as we can, our staff, our trainers, and Kawhi is the one who has to make the final decision as to how good he feels putting his body on the line. Then again, it makes me go back and think about how Kawhi doesn't trust the Spurs organization anymore to put his body out there. His doctors are saying, your body's not good enough to be out there. So he's going to listen to his own doctors over the Spurs because he's lost that trust.
Right. Like, how weird was that seeing this like a couple days ago? They had a team meeting urging to bring Kawhi back.
I don't think it's as weird as people make it out to be, because everyone wants to make these player meetings sound like super dramatic. I honestly think it was just like, are you them asking, like,
what's going on with you, man? You're not saying anything.
And the Spurs are more than a team. They're kind of like a family. If you hear about all that culture and all things like that. So if they get together, I feel like they get together often. I heard on some other podcasts how they eat together a lot. And
they do those commercials together. It's a bonding HEB. That's our local grocery store, and it's super weird to like go, because whenever I go back home, I walk into HEBs and there's like big cutouts of like LaMarcus Aldridge, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, what the?
It's amazing. Like,
it's weird because I'm not a Spurs fan, and I'm like, take it down, please. I don't want to be looking at LaMarcus, because in my head, I'm always imagining him like, you know, turning over shoulders and hitting that jumper. So I'm like, this is just weird. Like, I don't want to buy a box of whatever frozen hamburgers with like LaMarcus's face on them, you know? Or like, oh, Dunkin' had the cereal. Yeah, yeah, you get that too. So what's the other weird situation with the Kyrie thing? What do you think about the Kyrie going under the knife?
Invasive surgery.
When did they release that news?
Yesterday.
Was it Thursday?
It was
Friday.
Friday.
Yep. Yeah. No. So
Friday the 23rd. On his birthday.
No, by the way. I'm not gonna get political here, but this is a thing. If you want something to not be a story, you release it on Friday afternoon. It's a well-known press tactic. So you just like, if you're having a briefing or something and you want to like bury, you know, sort of undesirable news, like we're like, you know, scrapping this so-and-so law or something.
But
like
he had the surgery on that day too, right?
So maybe they waited until Friday to have it because of the press release.
Yeah, so that's why I think it's weird, but I don't think it's as big of a deal. I think they want us to not think it's a big deal, right? So they release it on Friday. They tell us it's non-invasive, even though that, you know, for a surgery, you still have to cut them open.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like, oh, everyone has been handling injuries in a very public way, and we don't want to do that.
So you think it is weird that they're doing
the Celtics logo's injured. Like, I mean, they're dealing with a lot of injuries right now.
Yeah, I think it's weird in the way they're handling it. Like, who are you trying to fool? You know what I mean? Like, what is the benefit of all of us thinking that Kyrie's going to come back real soon? Like, are you trying to, like, scare the Cavs or something? Like, they don't care. Like,
I just don't understand the release, but I also don't understand anything the Celtics, because they've been kind of teasing the Gordon Hayward thing as well.
323.
I don't know what they, exactly to your point, I don't know what they're trying to achieve. But also at the same time, they're trying to say, hey, maybe it is really bad and we want to put out there like, hey, Boston is still in the mix for the playoffs. Because if you take Kyrie out of that equation, Boston doesn't really have a real chance in the playoffs. As good as they are, as good as the Morris twin is.
Morris twin!
The Morris twin!
So as good as they are without him, I don't think they survive in the playoffs. Barely make it out of the second round, in my opinion. So I think they're telling the world, like, hey, it's not a big deal, but maybe it is a bigger deal than they're portraying it to be.
I think so, and that's why I made this list on what's weirder. I mean, it's quite a weird situation that's going on in Boston.
Yeah, now that I think about it, it's weirder. It's weirder than San Antonio, because San Antonio isn't trying to fool anyone. Yeah, like,
I also feel like San Antonio knows more than they let on. Yeah. Like, they know exactly what's going on in house. They're just not giving that information.
Yeah.
And like, no reporter's getting that information.
That's typical San Antonio behavior, right? Yeah. They like to keep things in house.
Like, the whole LaMarcus situation didn't come out till later. Like, that they had to talk to him.
Yeah, until they fixed it.
Exactly. So maybe they're fixing it internally right now. And then later on, like this summer, they'll be like, oh yeah, Kawhi's situation was terrible. He's going to leave. And then Pop sat down and chained him to the chair and was like, hey, you're not going anywhere. Yeah. Like with LaMarcus.
Now the by far the weirdest one. By far the weirdest one. I want to introduce it because I think when you look at it, I was trying to explain it to a friend who didn't watch basketball. And it was basically, if someone told you that the first overall pick forgot how to shoot, wouldn't that be weird? Like,
I think that tops the list of what's weirder. So let's, I'm gonna let you continue on that.
Yeah, Richard, you're the
I'm the resident,
closest source to the water. So yeah, why don't you go ahead?
Apparently the resident Sixers homer here. But I have a weird, like, fun theory as to why. So my theory is that every, like, because there's no veterans on the Sixers for the longest time, the other younger guys had to figure out, how are we going to haze the rookie? This is probably like early on in the process. Hinkie's still there. Okafor is still there. Nerlens Noel's still there. And they're like, okay, this is what's going to happen. Every year, instead of hazing the rookie, we're just not going to let them play. So we have to figure out a way. So that'll be our hazing. You just can't play the first year.
Oh, so let me get this clear. You're saying the rookies don't want to get hazed, so they redshirt the rookies?
No. I'm saying because there was no, like, Karl Malone buying Luke Walton. Like,
yes.
Oh, you're going to carry my bags.
Okay.
Because there were no vets – they had to figure out like their own like dumb high school way of hazing these rookies. So Fultz came there. JJ Redick was like, I don't want any part of this. I'm a professional. And they're like, oh, we have to figure out how we're gonna haze Markel.
This whole situation is so weird.
Yeah, you're just not gonna play. And they're like,
Markel. Okay, did you see him like in the few games that he did play? Have you just seen him at the line shooting a free throw? Like, how is this guy the first overall pick? That free throw was horrid.
With the Sixers, I feel like they distanced themselves from the whole situation.
Yeah.
Like, Brett Brown has openly come out and said, like, his camp needs to figure this out. Like, it's not our responsibility to teach you basketball mechanics. That's not my job. So, also, Markel, it's not the case with, I think Ben Simmons shoots with the wrong hand. I've had this theory for a while now. I've seen him shoot. His strong hand, he's not shooting from it. But
his left?
Yes. He shoots from his left. He should be shooting from his right. Because his... I don't know if you've ever seen him finish. He finishes with the right. Right. Yeah, all the time. But also, Markel doesn't have the same case. He's not shooting with his wrong hand.
Some people catch left and they bat right.
Sure. I mean, but still, with batting left or batting right, your power hand is either on the top or the bottom. That varies. Mm-hmm. But with Markel, that seems to not be the case. So it makes me think, like, how does one forget how to shoot? I've never heard this before, and I will probably never hear it again. Like, I'll never hear it in the NBA circle. Like, hey, a guy came in who was a top prospect and forgot how to shoot. Like, how does that happen? So somebody comes up to you and goes, like, you know what, Markel, you're not shooting it properly. Change your shot. And then he's like, okay, fine, I'll change my shot.
It was his shoulder tendonitis, though, right?
That's what they said. I don't believe it.
Wasn't that the thing, though? Like, yeah. Going in, everyone was saying, oh, he just has to figure out his jump shot. Maybe
Jump shot wasn't that bad.
He was shooting 37% from three coming in.
Why fix something when it's not broken? It's broken now.
Yeah, this is... Oh, the thing I was going to say is that another weird prospect who apparently couldn't shoot, Lonzo's shot. Apparently everyone's saying Lonzo is eye dominant, on the other hand, and I've never heard of this.
Lonzo's mechanics are weird. I mean, Sean Marion had weird mechanics. These guys figure it out, and Lonzo's been shooting better as time goes on.
Yeah,
well, lately he's 2 for 15 for his last 15 from three.
Well, I saw that.
It's like one game, right? Yeah,
yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, his over the year, Lonzo has figured out his shot, whereas Fultz didn't, and it's just like
Fultz hasn't had any playing time. So this is my theory, and again, crazy theory. This is a classic case of, I mean, people have been seeing all these UFOs. I think somebody abducted him, man. Somebody abducted, took away his jump shot. Hey, like, the aliens are like, how can we hurt the Sixers the most? Oh, take away his jump shot. So now he has to figure out how to shoot again. It's like, you know, learning how to walk again after you can't walk.
Yeah.
It's like you show like, no, like steady, grab my hand,
yeah,
one step at a time. You start from the free throw line and you slowly make your way out.
Like, no,
I firmly believe people don't, like, once they have a muscle memory for certain things like that, it doesn't really go away. I mean,
yeah, that was proven on Sports Science.
I think.
Yeah, look at, oh yeah, Klay Thompson, right?
Yeah, they blindfolded him, like, shoot in the dark. And then he's like, all right.
Did not miss.
In the and then another nail in the coffin in this weird shooting mechanics thing. There was footage of Klay Thompson just shooting with his other side. Yeah, he was just
apparently,
like...
Apparently, in an interview, Michael Thompson, who's a radio broadcaster...
His father,
former number one draft pick, said that he used to challenge Klay as a kid to shoot with his left. Just because he felt he wasn't being challenged enough. And I watched that jump shot, and I think that's the wettest jump shot I've ever seen. I could never even imagine trying to do something like that with my offhand.
Klay's a freak. I think officially Klay's a freak.
Anta's amazing.
God mode Klay is unstoppable.
Klaytheism is for real. And not because he's a super strange guy, let alone, I mean,
buckets and chill.
Yeah, sure, scaffolding, he's weird. We all agree on that, but he's weird in a good way where he's like he's so dedicated to what he does is that I feel like all his life. And he had a crazy father. Like, his father's like, super competitive. Yeah. And when you have a father like that, he will push you to do things sometimes you don't want to do.
Yeah, Clay is like almost as competitive.
Yeah, so I feel like with Clay, he's just wired in a different way. Where he's like all he thinks about it when he wakes up is his dog and basketball.
Yeah,
and winning, because that guy's a winner, man.
Yeah. Sure, and I feel like, I genuinely feel like when people talk about Clay leaving the Warriors, not going to happen. No. Because he doesn't want anything but to be where he is right now. Anyway, so we're running short on time. A lot going on in the NBA right now. There's a bunch of headlines with the Warriors injuries. I just want to do a quick roundup of what you guys think about the Rockets and where they are with all these injuries happening with the Warriors.
I think this is kind of the window. If the sprain, I mean, we're talking on the 24th of March, you know. We haven't gotten the MRI results yet. We don't know how bad Steph's injury is. But that could really, you know, give the Rockets the edge if Steph is not available to play.
What do you think, Richard?
Depending on how seeding goes, I think they have enough time to figure it out before they face the Rockets. But I think the Rockets, now is the time. Like, don't take your foot off the gas at all.
Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, what are the chances of the Rockets actually beating the Warriors in a 7-game series, keeping in mind all these injuries going into the playoffs? Well, how would you, like, out of 1 to 10, what number would you give
the Rockets? You mean with Steph injured?
With Steph injured now, even if it's an MCL too, he comes back in 6 weeks, which is in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. What number would you give them out of 10?
I'd say they'd win in 6.
So you're actually putting
You can give me the games, or you can give me, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, what number would you say the Rockets have a chance of actually beating?
I don't know why. It might just be because I need to really look at the matchups and who is missing, who the Rockets have, and, like,
who are the role players, pieces that they could fill in?
Yeah, because it's like,
I mean, Quinn Cook is not going to be cooking CP, that's for sure.
It's not enough to just say, oh, Warriors will next man up, because I actually do feel like there isn't anyone left. So,
No, I mean, it's Curry's team, right? Yeah, we can safe to say Curry's that team. It's Curry's team.
The type of gravity that Curry brings. You know,
but what we have to consider is that Clay, KD, and Draymond are injured.
Yeah.
And I think that factors into it. As much as I like watching the Warriors compared to a lot of other people that I know, people like rooting against the Warriors, and people have done that for a while because they're so good.
But then you watch them, and it's like
it's such beautiful basketball. Yeah, I mean, you cannot not be a fan.
I mean, since we were talking about conspiracy theories and all that, I really don't think Draymond, Clay, how's Clay injured? He has a right thumb fracture.
No, that's real. That's real.
He's giving daps like to. To somebody on the sideline yesterday.
Oh, I saw that footage.
You saw that, right? And there was also with the right thumb. I've fractured my thumb before, and I'm telling you, if you touched my thumb while it was fractured, I would be wincing in pain.
Hey, I mean, they're getting some top level NBA medicine.
How about Kevin Durant?
That you did not have access to.
He fractured his rib in the second quarter and played the rest of the game. And
yeah, I mean, you know what? Conspiracy theories are probably the highlight of this episode, but I'm going to back him up. I think the Warriors are just resting, They're just resting. But, I mean, I'm not saying those injuries didn't happen.
Yeah.
I just think they're exaggerated to a certain degree.
Right. For me, my takeaway from the Warriors' injuries has been, like, everyone complaining, oh, like, super team this, super team that, always complaining at all of the pickups. Like, Warriors are getting everybody, you know? But then you see what happens. Like, if you don't build your team to be, like, 15 men deep, you will be eviscerated by the time the regular season is over.
It's a long, grueling 82 games.
It's just what the NBA is now. I think you need everybody to produce. You need quality players.
Right.
And that's my point to people that say that, oh, people need to shorten rotations. You don't need to do that in the playoffs because you have all these players playing throughout the season in you know, crucial minutes. Like, I mean, I don't want to use the Raptors as an example, but they leave guys out there in the last 2-3 minutes of a game to finish games, and they deliver because they've been put in these situations. So when the playoffs come around, they're not going to be a deer caught in headlight. Is that a Bucks pun? Sure.
Yeah, where it's...
Yeah. Because Raptors might be facing the Bucks
this time of the year.
So I feel for the Warriors. It's just a sad way to go about it, but I feel like the Houston fans are a little bit excited that our chances have been strengthened by all these injuries happening to the Warriors. Let's hope that Curry does come back in the playoffs, because I want to see a full force Warriors against the full force Rockets.
And I really want to see
him back. We're going to make books about it.
So this is it for today. Do we record an outro, or are we going to use the same one?
I think we'll use the same outro. All right, everybody. That's it for today's pod. I just want to give a thanks to Haj, Mike, and Kevin for joining us today. Don't forget to check the show notes for all the contact info, and please, please send us any questions you might have. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to leave a 5-star review. Our backs may be to the basket, but we'll never turn our backs on our fans. See ya.